Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, I want to invite you to turn with me to the book of Joshua. We are going to take a detour this morning from our passageway through Romans. And I was thinking this morning, or last night, yesterday in particular, about that great old song. It's in our hymnal. I don't know that we ever sing it. It's called, "Rise Up, O Men of God. Have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength." And, you know, today I just feel like we need to say that we need God to raise up a fresh new generation of men. And we got some good ones. Well, ladies, I was really giving you an opportunity right there. You missed that one. We've got some good men around here. There you go. Better late than not at all, right? But you know what? I was telling Blaine this morning, I was thinking about his dad this week. And I mean, it's not unusual. I think about James Thomas a lot. But I was just thinking about James T. and how I miss some of the things that he did in our church. Number one being, if you had a prayer need, James T. would not just say he would pray for you, he would pray for you. He was a man of prayer. I think about Jimmy Gray. Jimmy's still with us, but he's not able to be here. Remember one day I came up, hot summertime, hot summer day. I mean, middle of the afternoon, and I drove up to the church, and there was Jim Gray. And he was out here, he was making this drain out here in the driveway. Drains down into below the street there. And he was out there, and he was digging it out, and he was getting it ready, and he was, you know. And he was out there all by himself. He didn't have anybody, you know, that he was depending on to get it done or anything. He was just out there working. Now, neither one of these men are perfect men, okay? I think we all understand that. But they're very good men. And they've been a blessing to their pastor. And we need more men to rise up and just take their places, whether it's cooking for young people at church camp or whether it's going on outreach or whether it's 1,000 other jobs. I was telling my Sunday school class, I really thought about doing this, but, well, what would people think? I was going to have a little skit this morning, Daniel, and I was going to list some of you guys to help me. And I was going to have a couple of you walk in with the weed eater and blower and whatnot and just crank them up, just fire them up right here in the middle of everything. And, simply as an illustration of the fact that we need men to be men. And being a godly man doesn't, in and of itself, mean singing in the choir or, teaching Sunday school or doing some specific task. It just means being available for God to use you in whatever ways that He needs. And look, we all know this. God doesn't need anybody, right? God can, but you know what? The Lord is looking for people He can use. Now, I'm going to preach a little bit to men this morning, but I think there's stuff here that any one of us can pull out of this. Ladies and kids and young people and anybody. So let's look together. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. And if you've caught your breath and you're able, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's holy word? Joshua 14, verse 6. "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord, my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord, my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kiriath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims. And the land had rest from war. Well, let's bow together. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. Lord, speak today through your Word. Hide me behind the cross of Jesus. Lord, I have nothing to give. I have nothing to offer. All these folks who've gathered in your name, Lord, but they need to hear from you today. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would have perfect freedom here to touch hearts and to draw us to yourself. And we thank you for this in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this is a great moment in Israel's history. They have come in out of the wilderness. They wandered for some 38 years. If you remember the story in the book of Numbers, they had come to a place called Kadesh Barnea. And at that point, God told Moses, send 12 spies into the land and let those men go in and let them thoroughly go through the land to see what kind of land it is, and then come back and give a report. And they did. And Caleb and Joshua were two of those 12. They went through the land. They came back and they were bearing the fruit of the land. In fact, they had a single cluster of grapes. All you grape growers out there, pay attention. They had a single cluster of grapes that they had suspended on a pole, and two men carried it between them. I mean, and I bet they had to put a sheet over it with a padlock to keep those guys out of it until they could get back. But, we're talking, they came back and they said, man, this is a good land. There's some good land up there. We can live there. This is going to be a great place for our people. But there are enemies there. And if you'll remember the story, the ten other men. By the way, who can name one of those men? Well, that's an object lesson in itself. Two men brought a good report, and 10 men brought an unfavorable report. 10 men came and they said to the people, we can't do this. Are you crazy? Are you nuts? Have you lost your mind, Clinton? What are you thinking? No way can we. We are like grasshoppers in the eyes of those people. They're going to step on us. And the Bible says that the 10 men, the majority report, caused the heart of the people to melt. Meanwhile, Caleb and Joshua gave the minority report, and they said, man, this is a good land, and with God's help, we are well able to do this. Let's go up and take this land. God has promised this land. This is the promised land. And God has brought us out of Egypt. God has done all these amazing things. God will do this. And the people say, oh, we can't do it. We can't do it. We can't do it. They were right. They couldn't do it. But God could do it. Now, folks, before we look down our long pointy noses too much at them, we need to remind ourselves that we also face our Kadesh Barneas. We face our moments when we look out across the landscape and we say, oh, boy, that looks good. That'd be great. That'd be nice. That would be, oh, but look at what that's going to take. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of money. That's going to be difficult. You know, we could look at it and say, Rebecca, we could say, you know, taking a group of kids to camp, I mean, we've got to feed them. We've got to make sure they're cared for. They have a place to sleep. We've got to transport them there and back again. We got all these things to think about. I just don't know. And I don't know, but I might have made a pretty good argument about that with Rebecca this week at some points, because James and Rebecca, man, there's a lot to this. There is. But folks, the two men who came back and whose hearts were devoted to the Lord and who had faith in God, well, they are remembered and they are a treasure to us today because of their obedience. And the guys who had no faith and who were not willing to look at the situation through the eyes of faith and say, God is able to do this. We've forgotten their very names. We don't even remember them. They're a footnote in the annals of history. And folks, if you want your life to count for something, if you want to be a man of God, if you want to be a woman of God, if you want to be a young person that God uses, you can be. But it requires you to look with the eyes of faith. It requires you to get your eyes off of this stinking world that we live in. And begin to allow the Word of God to just work in your heart and in your mind. You know, we see some things here about Caleb in this passage that I think are key. And the whole picture here, the big picture for Caleb is, I think, in that one phrase, that he followed the Lord wholly, completely, wholeheartedly. He followed the Lord wholeheartedly. You ever given a wedding proposal? Some of you guys have, some of you ladies have. Have you ever received a half-hearted response to your wedding proposal? I mean, think about this. You're kind of putting yourself out there. I mean, you're offering them all that you are and all that you're not. They don't know that. But, you know, you don't need to tell them everything at that point, right? And they say, I don't know. Let me think about it. You know, do like Barney and go poll all your friends, you know. Take a poll. Half-heartedness is something that we don't particularly value. I mean, if I stand before you this morning and my preaching to you, my words to you, you're listening and you're thinking, man, his heart's just not in this today. Not to say that God couldn't bless somebody anyway. He certainly can and does, and He has. As I'm sure there have been days when my heart was not all there, or not where it should be. But folks, what we need to see is that Caleb followed the Lord wholly, wholeheartedly. I mean, think about this. The task was given. Okay, I need 12 guys. We're going to send a group of men on a patrol. We're going to get out here and we're going to scout through the country and we're going to find out what kind of land this is. And Caleb said, "All right, I'm in." Joshua said, "Sure, I'll go." I mean, they were ready to obey. They were ready to do what was put before them. I mean, when the opportunity came, they said, "Sign me up." Are you ready? I mean, are you ready? Because here's what happens a lot of times in the Christian life that I've observed. It is that I'm walking away from some encounter, some opportunity, some moment, and I suddenly realize, I think I should have talked to that person about Jesus. I think I should have shared the gospel with them. I should have done something here. I should have helped that person in need. I'm walking away. I've lost my opportunity now, most likely. And then it hits me. Maybe none of y'all have ever been there. But I want to encourage you to be ready. I mean, to be ready when God calls, when God speaks, to be ready. And you say, "Well, how do you anticipate all that? How do you know what God's going to do? What God's going to call you to? What God's going to..." Well, you don't know. That's the beauty of it. And the challenge of it. And that's the excitement of it. And our job is not to know all those things. Our job is to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit every day. And when you're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, you're surrendered to Christ, you're living the life you need to be living, you're submitted to Him, He's just going to use you. I mean, God will wear you out. Now, some of you can look back over your last year or 5 years and count on the number of times that you felt like God really used you. But I'm going to tell you, if you're willing, God will wear you out. God will use you every single day, every moment of every hour. He'll work and work and work through you. And isn't that what we're here for? I mean, what are we here for anyway? Are we just here to grace the world with our wondrous beauty and talent? Billy says, "Yeah, I think that's it." Yeah. Woo! Now you know why Billy's here. Some of you have been wondering about that. Oh, look. God wants to use us, and there's no greater moment of fulfillment for a child of God than when you know God has used you. I mean, you all have such differing gifts and things that you do. It's awesome. We were singing that song a minute ago, Virginia. What was the last one we did? Christ Alone. Yeah. Beautiful words. Wonderful words. I'd like you to sign that sometime. What an awesome, awesome song. Great, great words. So Caleb followed the Lord wholeheartedly. And he says, verse 8, "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord, my God." And he says here, and at the end of verse 7, "He brought the word again as it was in mine heart." He gave a good report, and it was a true report. It was an accurate report, but it was a report of his heart, not just the facts. You know, not just the bare facts, because folks, look, when God moves, let's be honest, the facts may not be in your favor. The circumstances may not point to anything spectacular or something special or even good. But those are the moments when God works overtime. When God shows out. Well, notice verse 9. "Moses, swear to me on that day He said, surely the land that you've trodden, that you've walked on, is going to be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you've wholly followed the Lord your God. There are some of us here who've gained the perspective of years. It means we're old. And we've come to understand a few things in life. We've come to understand the brevity and the short nature of life, the fact that we're not here for long. I used to think 50 years was a long time. And more than anything else, as we grow older and we gain that perspective, we want more than anything, we want our lives to impact the generations that walk behind us. We want them to grow up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We want them to know Jesus. We want them to walk in victory and to be blessed by our life. Is that true? Do you want your children to be blessed by your spiritual life? Then what are you doing? How are you serving? What are you giving? How are you pouring yourself into this thing so that you can wholly follow God? You can wholeheartedly follow the truth of who God is, and you can pursue Him and all that He has for you. Because folks, that's going to be the key. Your children are going to walk behind you, and it's just like some of these that we remember, we think about this morning. We look back at their life, and yes, they failed in some ways, but then also they had things that we learned from them. And we're still learning from some of their example. So Caleb says, God has kept me alive for 45 years. Moses gave him the promise. He was 40 years old, and now he's 85. 45 years. They wandered in the wilderness for 38 years. Conquest was 7 years, and now they're just starting to divide up the land. And Caleb says, man, I'm ready. I'm 85, but I'm ready. And then notice verse 11. He says, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. I'm ready. Now, may I just say, it isn't about your physical strength. It isn't about if you can do the same thing today that you did back in the day. Well, back in my day, you already know you got old if you've ever heard those words come out of your mouth. And we look at 85 and think, man, that's getting on up there, Brother Garland. That's pretty old. But Caleb just says, doesn't matter. I'm ready now for war. I'm ready to fight. He says, I'm ready to go out and I'm ready to come in. He said, I'm ready to take it to them and I'm ready to win the victory and come in and enjoy the spoils. I'm ready. Well, I want to tell you, the only thing limiting you today, the only thing limiting you today is you. You knew that was coming, didn't you? We know it. Folks, God has no limitations. God has nothing that, you know, this is just, you know, too big for God. We just can't ask this of God. Be unreasonable, Audrey, to expect God to do some great thing. You know, we need to temper our expectations. You know, that's what I tell these kids getting married. You know, I mean, I tell them, number one step, lower your expectations. Seems like good advice to me. I don't know. Can't find it in Scripture, but I think it's probably wise. But you know, when we come to the Lord, we don't lower our expectations. If anything, we raise up our eyes and we look full into His wonderful, glorious face, and we see that He is able to do above and beyond. He's able to go places that we can't even dream up to imagine to go. And He's what? Well, that's right. Well, Caleb was obedient. And, you know, if you're not obedient, look, if you're not obeying God, you're not right with God, and you can't be used by God. I mean, if there are areas in your life where you know you are deliberately, willfully disobeying the Word of God, you're doing things that you should not be doing, you cannot be right with God. You're not right with your parents, you're not right with God. You're not right with your husband, your wife, you're not right with God. I think I want to get back behind this oak pulpit again and hide a little bit. Go on to meddling now. Well, Caleb says, I'm strong today. I'm ready today. I'm going to take it to him. Verse 12. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. I love it. I love it. I mean, Caleb could, you know, Joshua, we're neither one as young as we used to be. And I think it's time for these younger whippersnappers to step up and do a little something. Now, I'm going to get me a nice little cottage on the Sea of Galilee. Could you just work that out for me? Just get me a nice something with a nice view and, you know, some good fishing. And, man, I'm just going to live out my days right there. I'm just going to have, you know. Is that what Caleb did? No. He was absolutely the furthest you can get from that. And he says, give me this mountain. Well, the mountains that he's talking about are the place where the Anakim live. The Anakim were giants. They were huge people. He wasn't running from something. He was running to something. He was running to the battle. He says, verse 12, if so be the Lord will be with me, then I will be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Well, he went to Hebron. That was the place he desired. And Joshua blessed him, gave him that place. And that became the inheritance of Caleb and of his family. But the name of Hebron before was Kiriath Arba. And Kiriath means city. Of the city of Arba means big and loud. So he went to this big, loud city. He went to this place of challenge where he could have said, "Oh, just find me a nice retirement home. Just give me something, you know, where I don't have to cut the grass anymore, and I'll just have you know, this nice little life." No, he went to the very heart of the enemy's camp because God had told him, said, this is yours. This is yours. I think one of the things we're missing today is we're missing men who are walking in the presence of God. I don't mean men who don't come to church. I mean, I'm glad you're here. I'm thankful you're here. But we need men who are walking in the presence of God, hearing God's voice, hearing what God has for them. There's some of you young guys here today. God's got some things for you. Do you want what He has? Do you really want it? You can have what He has for you, but you've got to learn to pay attention. You've got to begin to listen to Him. You say, well, sounds good. Well, it starts right here. It starts here. It starts in the Word of God. If you're not in the Word of God today, fellas, I'm going to tell you, you're never going to be a man of God. You're never going to be a man of God until you get into the Word of God. And you begin to hear His voice. You begin to listen. And God's going to begin to mold you and shape you and transform your mind and change you into a brand new person. And you don't have to be the way, well, that's just the way I am. That's just the way my family is. That's just the way I was raised. That's just what happens when you go through this and this and this and this. You don't have to be the person you are today. God is able to change you. Amen? God is able to change the person you are into something you've never even dreamed of. How can that be? Well, That's why He's God, sitting on the throne of the universe. He's able to do this. And He wants to bless you. He didn't design your life so that you just be miserable and unhappy and unfulfilled. And man, He made you. And He made you for Himself. He made you to know Him. He made you to walk with Him. So a big part of this comes, you know, Adam and Eve in the garden. God came walking and said, "Adam, where are you?" Lord, you see, we were naked. And so we hid ourselves. And people have been hiding from God ever since. Some of you came to church this morning, but you're still hiding from God. You're still hiding from the presence of God, from the Spirit of God speaking to you directly into your heart and your life, showing you what you need, showing you how to live, showing you what He has for you, how He wants to use you. I want to encourage you today to open up your heart to Him. Here's what happens when we begin to go up against the giants. When we begin to go up against the opposition that's formidable, that's strong, God begins to work in us. God begins to change us, Michael. God begins to do a work in us. And as long as you're floating through life and you have no obstacles and no challenges and nothing really tough, well, I won't tell you. We got football teams all around the state, just went through their spring practices, and every coach out there made it as tough as they could on them. Challenged them, pushed them, worked them. Tried to get them to break, probably. Why? Because He knows the only chance they have at winning a championship is if those young men decide they want to pay the price and they want to persevere through the problems, and those obstacles and those problems are what's going to make them stronger. And folks, God puts giants in your life. Not so that you can cringe in fear and complain and whine and grumble and murmur and carry on like the rabbit on Winnie the Pooh. You remember Rabbit? Yeah. Well, God made those for you to come to know Him. The name Hebron. The city where Caleb was blessed, became his home, became his inheritance. That name means communion or fellowship. And God will use the giants, the struggles, the hard things in your life to draw you into fellowship with Him. Communion with God. The sweetest moments you'll ever experience. It may come after a hard day, but you feel just the sense of the Holy Spirit comforting you and helping you. It might come after what you consider a loss, but yet God is there. And even in that, He's not done. He's not through. He hadn't given up one bit. And He's helping you through it. And you're going to learn to experience Him. You're going to learn to know what it means to follow wholeheartedly. I want to encourage you men. We need some men of God to rise up. I'll be honest. We need some men of God in this church. We need some men of God. I mean, when Dwayne went down, you know, Dwayne's not a perfect man either. But he's a good man. And he has some wonderful gifts that he brings to the church, to the Lord's work. And some of that I couldn't do, could not duplicate, could not, you know, in 100 years couldn't do it. And we don't have to. But God is calling you to be the man of God that He's created you to be. Because you have your own set of unique gifts and abilities that He wants to use in the kingdom of God. And you'll never be happier and you'll never be more fulfilled than when you're serving Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Father, in this moment, Lord, we just want to be men and women, young people, children, given over to you, loving you with our whole heart, wholeheartedly following you. And so, Lord, would you speak to us this morning? Lord, if there's even one today who maybe just needs to be saved, maybe that's where their struggle is. They need Christ to come into their life and just change them. Lord, maybe they've tried to change their own life, and God, would you help them to see there's no answer there? But Lord, you have the answer for them. You have exactly what they need. Father, would you pour yourself into them? God, speak to their heart right now and draw them to the cross and help them to humble themselves and just say, oh God, I need you. Lord, I'm not a good man. I'm not a good woman. I need you, Lord. I'm lost. I'm far from you. God, I need you to save me. I need you to forgive me. Just tell him right now from your heart. Cry out to him. Say, oh God, I need you. Come into my life and change me. I believe you died for me, Jesus. Today I receive you. Tell him. Open up your heart to him. Cry out to him. He will hear you. But there's some others here this morning who are Christians who know Christ, but their life isn't what they want it to be, where they want it to be. And I just want to say to you this morning, God loves you so much. He did not save you so that you could just continually bang your head against that wall and you could continually struggle. He saved you to set you free, to give you joy, to give you peace, to give you purpose. Christian, I want to invite you this morning to humble your heart, surrender yourself to Him. Ask Him to take you and use you. There may be some specific thing in your life that's holding you back. Some specific habit or sin or thing that is just a hindrance. And you need to lay it aside today. I'd be glad to pray with you about that. You can come to this altar and pour out your heart to God. We can make an altar where you are, but, oh, Christian, don't miss this opportunity. Father, in this moment, we just know, Lord, that we need you. And I pray today that you'll speak to where we are, God, not where we think we are or where we'd like to be, but or where we are. And help us to be completely honest with you. Help us to confess sin. Help us to turn from anything that's hindering our walk with you. Or if there's an attitude, if there's a hard feeling towards someone, God, if there's fear, some evil desire that we've been given into, God, let us bring that to you right now. Lay it at your feet. And Lord, if there's even one here who prayed to receive you this morning, would you give them grace? Would you give them courage to say, yes, I'm going to follow you, Jesus.